listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. With us today, Rick Hurst, publisher of An African American Point of View, and Dave Eisenstadter of the Daily Hampshire Gazette. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Good to be here.
This week, the Massachusetts legislature wrapped up its formal session for the year, and there was a flurry of 11th-hour activity. The House and Senate passed measures related to opioid treatment and economic development, but lawmakers could not get anything done on education and health care funding, and they also inadvertently let the state's horse racing laws lapse, but corrected that in an informal session later this past week. So, Rick, is there a piece of legislation that got your eye or something that didn't get done that should have?
Well, you know, there was so much being done that I couldn't figure out what got done and what didn't get done. It's a terrible way to legislate, that's all I can tell you. All the time they had to pass these bills and contemplate on them and to push them all into one short period of time, that's something we ought to think about as voters.
That's a good point that Rick brings up, Dave. A lot of bills that come out in, you know, the last couple of hours of sessions that aren't publicly vetted really aren't available to the public for very long, and then they get voted on and made law. What do you think about that type of 11th-hour lawmaking?
I completely agree with what you're saying, and I just feel that this legislation, this legislative session has been disappointment after disappointment. They didn't act on these immigration protections that they could have. The climate change legislation that they passed was disappointing on its scope. Healthcare financing, public school financing, those were both very important, and they didn't get done. And I think that we really need action on these progressive things that are being under attack on the federal level. And I'm just happy that there's a September 4th primary coming up, and at least in the western part of the state, a lot of those legislators are going to be replaced with new folks. And there's a lot of great progressive candidates running.
Rick, they did get an opioid bill taken care of, which the governor seems like he's going to support and sign. What do you think about that one?
Well, you know, I've always had mixed emotions on the whole opioid issue. I'm glad it got passed. I hope it does what it's designed to do. But, you know, as a black person, I feel a little angry about the fact that we rushed to help defer the opioid crisis and did nothing about the crack crisis except for jail people and all minorities primarily. And so, you know, it's a bitter pill for me to swallow. You know, I like to see people helped, but I don't like the history of it.
Also this week, a Smith College staff member called police on a black student eating her lunch at a common area on campus. The student, Umu Kanute, posted to Facebook short videos of the interaction. The officer told Kanute that the employee who made the call did not recognize her, and she replied,
"It's okay. It's just like kind of stuff like this happens way too often where people just feel like threatened."
Rick, Smith College's president says the school will hire an outside investigator to look into the incident. What do you think about all of this?
Well, I don't think it requires an outside investigator. It's normal stuff. And, you know, we have to, as a society, come to grips with the nonsense, the racial nonsense that this is a reflection of. So I don't think much about it, except for I'm not happy about the progress we've made. We have made some.
So what's there to do about it?
I just think we have to keep talking about it. I think we have to keep confronting it. And I think that we have to stop feeling negatively about people who raise the race issues that still exist in this country.
Dave, the school is declining to publicly name the employee, citing college policy. Should they release this information?
I'm not sure. I think it's tough. I mean, I think that the president released a big statement about this. Seems like they're taking a lot of different actions. Some of them might be good. Some of them might not be so great. But I think that they understand how serious this is, or I hope that they do. And whether or not the person gets named right away, I think that the important thing is to just really take this very seriously. This is not anything to mess around with. I mean, one of the things that that person wrote on Facebook, I think she worked hard to get into Smith, and she has the right to feel safe on campus. And I absolutely think that it should be true, and the fact that it wasn't is a tragedy.
Meanwhile, the Council on Islamic Relations says Islamophobic flyers have been sent to some homes in western Massachusetts targeting a candidate for Congress. Tahira Amatul Wadud is taking on incumbent Richard Neal in the Democratic primary next month. John Robbins, the executive director of the Council's Massachusetts chapter, says the flyers attempt to link Amatul Wadud to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood.
Clearly somebody who's, you know, not really well-versed in a lot of this and is just kind of parroting a lot of what that person's read from, you know, online extreme right-wing sites and hate group leadership.
To be clear, there is no indication Neal's campaign is at all involved in this, but Dave, she already has an uphill battle against a powerful incumbent. Now Amatul Wadud is dealing with this. How does this affect her campaign?
To hear Amatul Wadud, she's running a spirited, idea-driven campaign with a lot of progressive issues that she's talking about. She's already, through her campaign, I think, gotten Neal to come to the table a little bit more on possibly supporting single-payer health care, which I think is important. These attacks, they're disgusting. And the fact that people would attack her on the basis of religion rather than the ideas that she's bringing to this campaign is just awful. I mean, I would think that it should be incumbent on Representative Neal to condemn these attacks, get out there and just say that he does not support these attacks and that they are disgusting.
And as we sit and tape this, we have not heard anything from the congressman yet. Rick, given the rise in recent years of reported hate speech, is any of this surprising? And what does it say?
None of it is surprising. She should have expected, and I'm certain she did. I agree with what he said about Representative Neal. He should have come out and just talked against this thing, and it would have made him look good. But I must say, I've met Wadud many times, and I've listened to her talk. And I think that those things are going to help her, not hurt her. I think people who have listened to her and heard her know that she's a bright, effective person who can really challenge Neal. I said months ago, when she first came out, that before it was over, Richie Neal was going to be embarrassed because the assumption would be that because he wears a hijab, I think that's the way it's pronounced, that she will not get votes. This lady is accumulating votes across the Commonwealth. She is going to embarrass Richie Neal. I'm not taking a position, but that is a fact.
All right, Rick Hurst of an African-American Point of View and Dave Eisenstatter of the Daily Hampshire Gazette, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.